WOR lead story of the hour. Report Gary Gilmore's last words before death were, "Let's do it." Now, the Mystery Theater.
I'm E.G. Marshall. The last I heard, there was an alchemy school in Utah giving a two-week course in how to change lead into gold. A prestigious university was bestowing a bachelor's degree in magical studies, and someone was offering subscriptions to a newsletter for witches. I'm old enough to remember when such things would have been laughed out of existence. But nowadays, who's laughing? Our mystery drama, Son of Satan, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Gordon Gould and Ralph Bell. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radios. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeFevre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
It's a coastal town, not far from a major metropolis. There are few high-rise buildings and a great many houses, none of them very new. Many of the streets are bordered on both sides with trees, and at night, the town is very quiet. On one such tree-lined street, on one such quiet night, two men are walking, one a short distance behind the other. The one who trails calls out,
"Sam? Is that you, Sam? Sam, it's Tony. Sam, wait!" "I'm home. You home?"
"I'm in the kitchen."
"Well, get yourself in here."
"I have to put something in the oven first."
"I've got something to tell you."
"In a minute."
"I'll make us a couple of drinks."
"Okay."
"You're gonna need one."
"I am, why?"
"Well, get yourself in here and I'll tell you."
"Well, dinner will be ready in about half an hour."
"Here's your drink."
"Thank you."
"Sit down."
"Must I?"
"You'd better."
"All right. I am seated."
"Guess who I saw tonight?"
"Guess whom I saw tonight?"
"Oh, don't quibble."
"A professor should mind his grammar, and when he's wrong, his wife should correct him."
"All right. Guess whom I saw tonight?"
"Whom?"
"Sam."
"Sam?"
"That's right."
"You don't mean Sam Van Camp?"
"The very same."
"Good Lord. I thought he was dead. I don't know why I thought he was dead. I just sort of pictured him dead."
"I know what you mean."
"We haven't heard from him in, at least 5 years. Just seemed logical that he'd be dead." "Well, for heaven's sake, where did you see him?"
"On La Costa Street."
"On that nice old street with all the nice old houses. How is old Sam?"
"I don't know. I didn't get to speak to him."
"Why not?"
"Well, it was getting dark, and at first I wasn't sure it was him."
"It was he?"
"He, him. Then he went under a streetlight, and I was sure. So I called to him, but he kept right on going."
"Well, maybe he didn't know who you were."
"I said, 'Sam, it's Tony.' He must have heard me."
"He can't still be mad at you, can he?"
"After 5 years?"
"Sam was never really in love with me anyway. He just thought he was. Actually, I'm not sure he even thought he was. He was just upset because we broke up our little menage at the beach house."
"He liked that little menage."
"Well, so did I. And so did you."
"Yeah. Swimming all day. Surfing.
Playing records all night. And dancing.
An occasional seance. It was fun."
Then you and I grew up and Sam was left out. That's all it was.
I wonder why he didn't stop when I called out to him.
Oh, thinking about something else, probably. You know how Sam always was.
Yeah, slightly kooky.
Slightly?
All the same, that year at the beach was a good year.
One of the best.
I'd like to see the old dude again. Find out what he's been up to.
Do you think he lives on La Costa?
I think I saw him turn in at one of those old houses. Of course, it was getting dark.
He could have been visiting someone.
Yeah.
Why don't you drift over there sometime and find out?
I think I will. Yes, I will. Yes? Sam! Well, it's Tony. Tony Marsh.
Why, Tony.
I didn't know if you lived here or not.
How are you, Tony?
Oh, great. Swell. Fine. You?
Marvelous.
Okay to come in for a minute?
Oh, yes. Sure. Of course. I said come in.
Thanks. I won't stay.
Come in. Sit down, eh?
You're looking fine, Sam.
How did you find me?
Well, actually, I saw you on the street a few nights ago.
You did? Well, why didn't you say something?
Well, I did. I said, is that you, Sam? Because I wasn't 100% sure. Then I was sure, so I said, Sam, it's Tony. But you kept right on walking, kind of hurt my feelings.
Sam. Oh, sweet shades of the past.
Come again?
Was I ever Sam?
Well, you certainly were to me and to Rowena.
How is Rowena?
Fine, fine. Rowena's fine. She wanted to be remembered to you if I could track you down.
Ah, oh, sweet Rowena.
We got married, you know, Rowena and I.
Well, I thought you might. It seemed inevitable.
Well, we did.
Tony, I'm terribly sorry I hurt your feelings the other night.
Oh, that's all right. Rowena said you probably had your mind on something else.
Oh, I did. I did.
Well, then?
I always have my mind on something else.
Something important? Oh, must have been if you didn't hear me.
Oh, very important. Extremely important. In fact, I can scarcely think of anything more important.
Care to tell me what?
Perhaps in due time. Perhaps not. Tony, that's not the reason I didn't answer you when you spoke my name.
No? You mean you really were snubbing me?
Oh, no, 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 no. You see, it's so long since anyone's called me Sam, I'd quite forgot it was my name.
Really?
Quite forgot. Old Sam has passed into oblivion.
Well, what do you call yourself now?
Cato.
Cato?
Cato Van Camp. Do you like it?
Well, sure, yeah. But then I liked Sam all right, too.
It didn't sound right after...
After what?
After I took the left-hand path.
What's that? Left-hand path?
Oh, well, if you don't know, then you just don't know.
You could explain.
It's all so difficult. It covers so much territory. How can I explain if you don't already know?
If I already knew, you wouldn't have to explain.
Ah, how right you are, how right. Well, Tony, after our frivolous year at the beach, we were no more than a trio of hippies, you know. You, Rowena, and I.
I know.
I shudder to think how callow we were, how unripe.
I guess we were.
Even if you and Rowena hadn't fallen in love, I couldn't continue with that sort of existence.
So what did you do?
Remember when we used to talk, the three of us, about the age of Aquarius?
Yeah, well.
And do you know how we bring about this golden age? Do you know how we prepare ourselves?
Well, no, I don't.
By blatant gratification of our egos. That's how.
Oh?
And do you know how we gratify our egos?
No.
By surrendering ourselves to ourselves.
Sam, I don't think
Cato.
Oh, excuse me. Cato, I don't think I dig this sort of thing. Frankly, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, my friend, what is it we all want? The best of us, the worst of us, the highest, the lowest, the richest, the poorest. What do we all want?
Money, love, I don't know.
Power. Sheer, unadulterated power. Am I right?
I don't know, Sam. Cato...
Now come now. Of course you know. Wouldn't you like to control things?
Well, things like what?
Like anything. Like everything. People, events, everything.
I don't think that's possible.
But if it were possible?
Well, then I guess I'd like it.
Of course you would. Of course. So would I. So would everyone. No one wants to admit it. Only a few of us, like myself, have the sublime courage to confess up to it. We crave it. We lust after it. We think about it day and night. We scheme. We study. It's our God, our solitary goal, power. Sheer, unadulterated power.
Just what do you want to do with all this power,
Cato?
Oh,
what difference what we do with it? The thing is to have it. You see, it's the attitude of the alcoholic towards liquor. He has to have it. Has to know it's there. It's his. And after a while, he'll get around to drinking it, I suppose. But for the time being, it's enough to know it's his. Well, that's how we feel about power.
Who's we?
The sons of Satan.
I don't think I...
Have you never heard of us?
I don't think so. Is it a religion?
A religion. An art. And a science.
I see. I guess I do.
You don't really. Ah, poor Tony. You're one of the timid ones. You've probably never committed a sin in your whole life.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Have you known greed, lust, rage, overweening pride?
Well, I think I have.
You think you have. If you only think you have, then you haven't. Have you given in to them?
I guess mostly I try not to.
Ah, you see? If you've never given in to them, you've never really felt them. If you've never given in to sexual desire, how do you know you've ever felt it?
Oh, well, that...
Ah, well, enough about me. How is Rowena? Are you two happily married?
Yes. Very happy, yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
You're not married?
Oh, I haven't had time.
She'd like to see you sometime. I'm sure she would.
Well, we must get together.
Maybe you'd come to dinner.
Well, why not? Or you could come here.
If you can spare the time.
Oh, I think I can. My experiment only consumes the daytime hours.
Your experiment?
I've been working on it for almost a year now.
Would you... Well, I don't suppose you'd care to tell me what it is you're working on. Or is it a secret?
Well, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't know. We're old friends. It's a homunculus.
A what?
A homunculus. Don't you know what a homunculus is?
No, should I?
A homunculus, my dear old friend, is a small, artificial man. Like a dwarf. A mannequin. But made by man. The creation of a homunculus is as old as alchemy. It's an ancient art.
And this is what you're working on? Creating a homunculus?
Of course. Only my homunculus will be possessed of magic powers. This little man, I think he will be no more than 2 feet tall, perhaps less. But he will have the power to rule the world. Which is precisely what I intend he should do.
What is the mystique of power? Everyone likes to think he has some influence. I know I do. That his opinion is listened to, respected. That he can even affect some decisions. But power? Power over other human beings? Power to help can turn into power to hurt. Power to raise up can become power to strike down. Power to create transmutes into power to destroy. A formidable thing, power. I'll come back to you shortly with Act Two.
We're here in Chicago talking to people about Freedom, the great-tasting chewing gum that won't stick to most dental work. Hi, what's your name?
Mrs. Sandra Lippman.
Mrs. Lippman, where did you hear about Freedom?
Well, I saw a commercial on TV.
Mm-hmm. Did you try it right away?
Oh, yes. I was really anxious to try Freedom because I haven't been able to chew gum for several years.
Could you tell us why?
Well, I had some dental work done. And when I tried to chew gum, it just stuck to my bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I had just about given up until I tried Freedom.
Oh, Freedom really didn't stick?
Not one bit. And ever since I found Freedom, Well, I've been making up for all those years I couldn't chew gum.
Oh, how do you like Frieden's taste?
I'm crazy about it. I wasn't really expecting it to taste as good as regular gum. I mean, well, since it's really made not to stick. But it tastes great.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Mrs. Lipman. Try Frieden in both spearmint and peppermint flavors. It won't stick to most dental work. Frieden from Wrigley's.
Tony and Rowena Marsh have revived their old-time friendship with Sam Van Camp, or as he now calls himself, Cato Van Camp. Their friend from the past has become a member of an exclusive sect called the Sons of Satan, dedicated to the gratification of the ego, chiefly by allowing the ego full expression of its every desire. Cato himself is at work on a project he hopes will terminate in the creation of a homunculus, a tiny artificial man with magic powers. As our second act begins, it is 1 year later.
What a marvelous dinner, Rowena.
I'm glad you liked it, Cato.
Your cooking's changed since the old days of the beach house.
I should hope so.
What was that dish we used to eat? Made out of seaweed or something?
Kelp.
I rather liked it. Roast beef is better. Well, we've come a long way, haven't we? Tony, a professor now.
I am a mother.
And you, Cato, what would you call yourself? Prophet of the ego, perhaps?
Oh, come on now.
Moralist of the future?
Oh, Cato, really?
No, don't laugh. I'm warning you, don't laugh.
Well, I wasn't exactly laughing. It's just that...
I'm being pretentious. Is that what you think?
Maybe a little. Look, I'm going upstairs and see how the baby is. You two finish your coffee.
Okay.
Oh, there's some brandy someplace if you want it.
Want some? I don't think so. Actually, I disapprove of alcohol. One day, we'll have a totally controlled society that will protect us all against drugs. And alcohol will be at the top of the list where it belongs. Drugs are false helpers. Treacherous.
You never use them?
Oh, a pinch of hemlock, now and then.
Hemlock? Well, that's what they used to kill Socrates, isn't it?
I don't take that much, needless to say. In small doses, it's a mind-bender, but I don't rely on it.
Hmm.
It's too dangerous, like nightshade. I used to raise it in my garden, but I don't anymore.
I'm glad to hear that. How's your experiment coming along? The homunculus thing?
Kindly refrain from calling it a thing.
Okay. You're a little man with the magic powers.
I'm waiting for a shipment of cordite. They're late with it, and it's holding me up.
But your prospects look good, do they? For giving birth?
Just what do you mean by that?
I mean, one day soon you'll have your homunculus. You have your baby.
My what?
Your baby. That's what you want, isn't it?
Are you crazy or something?
I looked up homunculus in the dictionary. It means a little man, as mannequin.
I told you that. First time you came to see me, I told you that.
Yes, but it also means fetus.
Fetus?
That's what the dictionary says.
I never knew that.
That's what I meant when I said you were going to have your baby. Rowena's had hers. Now it's your turn.
That's not excruciatingly funny, in case you thought it was.
I guess not. By the way, have we ever thanked you for being so kind and thoughtful? All during the pregnancy and ever since? Rowena appreciated it.
Oh, but I adore Rowena.
And you've been wonderful with the baby. Not just all the presents, sitting with him and all that.
But I worship the baby.
Sometimes you forget to tell people things, you know. I just wanted to say that I'm glad we all got together again.
We should never have been apart.
Yeah. Well, those things happen, unfortunately.
Oh, look, I ought to be getting on home.
It's early.
Yes, but I...
Rowena will be down in a minute.
Well, I want to get back to the house, see if my cordite's been delivered.
Well, if you must, you must.
I'm sorry to eat and run.
No, that's all right.
I'll see you soon. My house next time.
You bet.
Night, Rowena.
You leaving?
I have to. Lovely evening. Many thanks.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Tony, just a slave to my project.
Well, give my love to the little homunculus.
Don't joke about it.
Sorry.
One day you'll see. That little man is going to take over the whole world, be in charge of everything. And when that day comes...
Yes?
What then?
Watch your step, that's all. Just watch your step.
Hey there. Aren't you going to get out of bed?
I don't much feel like it, and that's the truth.
I had to get my own breakfast.
Big deal.
Oh, you sick?
I don't know. I'm not well, I don't think.
Hold everything. I'll take your temperature.
Cato have a good time last night?
Yeah, I think so. And here, stick this in your mouth.
He went home early.
Something about a shipment of cordite that was supposed to arrive and didn't.
Cordite?
And part of his scientific project, so-called. The homunculus thing.
Oh, that.
Yeah. I made a little joke about it. He didn't much like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame him. It wasn't much of a joke. But he sure takes that thing seriously. I told him homunculus also meant fetus, according to the dictionary. Asked him when he was going to have his baby. He didn't know homunculus also means fetus. And for some reason, it annoyed him. Upset him. Okay, let's have the thermometer.
Poor Cato.
Why poor Cato? Holy Moses. You've got a fever, you know that?
What is it?
101 and 2/10.
Must be the flu.
Look, I'll call and tell them I won't be in.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I can't leave you alone here with the baby. You shouldn't get out of bed. I'll call the doctor.
No, not yet. I'll take some aspirin.
100 and...
Tony, don't, please. It's just the flu or a virus.
Well, I'm going to call the university and tell them I won't be in.
Now, don't do that either.
You can't stay alone here, take care of the baby and everything. And he could catch whatever it is you've got.
Call Cato. He'll come over and sit with me.
That's an idea.
And he's wonderful with the baby.
Good idea. I wouldn't do this, but I've got that meeting with the dean. I can cancel the classes, but the meeting's important.
Yes, hello.
Cato, this is Tony. I have a favor to ask of you.
Yes, Tony.
Rowena's come down with something. Flu, she says. And I have to go to the university, meeting with the dean. And I was wondering, could you possibly...
You want me to come over there?
Well, she's running a fever, 101, a little over. And there's the baby. Could you?
Well, I was just cleaning up here. I really ought... The house is a mess, you
Well, see. Just for a couple of hours. By that time, I'll be back. I'll cancel my classes.
I'll be there. I'll clean up here later.
Oh, thanks. Make it soon.
Right away.
Thanks a lot.
He's coming.
Yeah. Right away. He said he was cleaning up the joint, but he could do it later.
Good old Cato.
How do you feel?
Fairly rotten.
I hate to leave you, but that meeting's at 9.
Now, you run along. Cato has his own keys.
That's right, he has. You'll be all right till he gets here?
I'll be fine.
Sure you will. Cato will take good care of you.
Rowena?
Is that you, Cato?
Yes, Mom.
So good of you to...
Oh, now everything's going to be fine and dandy. How do you feel?
Not so good.
This your thermometer?
Yeah, I just took my temperature. It's gone up 103.
Oh, dear. Maybe I should call the doctor.
Oh, no, not yet.
Well, I'll call Tony.
No, don't. He'll be home in a little while.
Well, I brought you a nice pack and a thermos full of fresh orange juice. Could you drink some?
Maybe.
And I brought you a little pill to relax your nerves, help put you to sleep. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear. The baby's crying. No. You just lie back and I'll go see what's the matter with him. If anything, which I doubt, you just relax now, you hear?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, little man? Want to be picked up? Well, come on. That's it. Caramundo, fail. Marlo, canic, tarumano, kin.
Cato, what are you singing?
Oh, just improvising, love. Now go to sleep. Caritosi, Santa Manta, Loni, 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 Corito Manto, Loni.
Cato, are you there?
You want something, Rowena?
How long have I been asleep?
About a half an hour.
Well, it's the most amazing thing. I'm completely well.
You mean that?
I woke up feeling wonderful.
I'm delighted.
I took my temperature. It's normal.
Fascinating.
I don't know if it was that pill you gave me or what.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, maybe just the sleeping.
Possibly.
Well, I'm going to call Tony. Would you hand me the phone, please?
Here we are. Uh-oh, baby's crying.
Oh, he's hungry. As soon as I talk to Tony, I'll feed him. Strangest thing. I never felt better. Well, I'm going to get up and then I... Hello? May I have the dean's office, please? Thank you. Was the baby any trouble, Cato?
No. I picked him up.
Yes, is Mr. Marsh there? This is his wife calling. Thank you. I'm glad the baby didn't act up. He does sometimes.
Not with me.
Tony, it's me. Guess what? I'm well. Absolutely. Well, Cato came over and brought me a nice pack and some orange juice and a little pill. My fever had shot up to 103 by then. No, it's all right now. I went to sleep for half an hour, and when I woke up, I was well. Yes, I took my temperature. It's normal. I feel great. So, honey, you don't have to come home. As soon as I hang up the phone, I'm going to get up. Cato can go home and tend to his cleaning or whatever, and... Well, if you've already canceled your classes... Of course I want to hear what the dean said. Okay, I'll see you. Well, whenever you get here. But I don't want you to worry, because I'm fine. I'm halfway out of bed right now. Okay. See you. Cato, I'm getting out of bed. Tony will be home pretty soon, so you don't have to worry about me. You can go home. Cato, you hear me? You are in the baby's room, aren't you? Cato? Why, I thought you were in here. Where did you go? Oh, good Lord. Oh, no. Oh, no. No!
It's not often that a friendship, allowed to languish for so long, can be revived. Circumstances change, interests change, the status of one or another shifts, and the friendship suffers. It's a rare thing when, brought abruptly together after a long separation, friends discover that affection and compatibility still live, that they can pick up where they left off and go on. It's a happy discovery, but go on to what? That is the question that abides. We'll be back shortly with the final act. Reunited in friendship after a 5-year separation, Tony and Rowena Marsh are enjoying the company of Cato Van Camp. While Tony teaches at the university and Rowena becomes a mother, Cato works earnestly at producing chemically a homunculus, a tiny man with magic powers. When Rowena falls ill with an alarmingly high fever, Cato is asked to stay with her and her young child so that Tony can keep an appointment. Now Rowena has awakened from a short sleep to find her temperature normal and her health restored. But when she searches for Cato in the baby's room...
Cato, I thought you were in here. Where did you... Oh, good Lord. Oh, no. Oh, no. No! No!
Answer, damn you, Cato. Answer the phone. Oh, you've got to be there. If you're not, where are you? Where have you gone? Answer the phone. Oh, Tony, please. Come home. Please come home. Be here. Operator, get me the police. No, never mind. Never mind, though. Oh, Tony, you said you were coming home. I need you. Tony, is that you? Oh, Tony.
Hey, what's this?
The baby's gone. What are we going to do?
Now, wait a second. Calm down. The baby's what?
He's gone. Disappeared. Vanished.
We couldn't.
Cato took him.
Oh, I don't... Are you sure? Now, wait now.
The baby is gone and Cato is gone. I have looked all over this house 4 times. They are both gone.
Now, wait a minute. Tell me exactly what happened. Last time I talked to you, you said you felt wonderful.
I did. Cato came over and gave me a pill and some orange juice and I went to sleep. But by that time, my fever was way up. But I told you all that on the phone.
Where was Cato when you called me?
He was in the baby's room. The baby had cried. I knew he was hungry and I felt so good by then that I said I'd get up and feed him as soon as I talked to you. So after I hung up the phone, I got out of bed and went into the baby's room, and it was empty. The crib was empty, and Cato wasn't there.
It's all crazy. Did you call Cato at home?
Well, what do you think? I've called him 6 times, but nobody answers. I was half out of my mind, and I started to call the police, but then I thought I'd wait till you got here.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, I don't like to call the police right away.
Cato has my child.
I don't think he'd hurt him.
Well, how do we know? That crazy freak might do anything.
We've been seeing him for a year. He's never done anything.
How do we know what he does when he's not with us? Working on those insane experiments, practicing that nutty religion, Satanism, isn't that what you call it?
Yes, but that doesn't mean... Well, it's not what you're thinking. I mean, they don't believe in murder. It's nothing like that, really. Believe me.
You don't know. You've never met any of those sons of Satan except Cato.
But he's been so good to us. He's been very sweet, a good friend.
Tony, call the police. Tell them to go to Cato's house and arrest him for kidnapping.
We don't know for sure.
I want my baby back before that crazy monster kills him.
Look, before we call the police, let me go over to Cato's house.
He is not there. I told you he doesn't answer the phone.
Maybe he's down in the basement in his laboratory. Maybe he didn't hear the phone. Let me go over there.
I'm going with you.
If Cato took the baby, then the baby must be in his house. End of the block, driver. Last house. This is it. Here. Keep the change. Come on.
Tony, look.
What?
The basement window's all smashed.
Blown out. It looks like there's been an explosion.
In the laboratory. Do you think the baby...
I don't know.
If anything has happened to my child...
Well, hang on. We'll find out.
Tony. Break it down. Break the door down.
Okay. Stand to one side. This won't be hard. Come on.
Do you think he...
I don't know any more than you do. He's probably in the basement.
Do you think he's dead?
I don't know. How should I know?
The baby, Tony.
This is the door to the basement.
Are you going down there?
Yes. Now, wait a minute. You hear something?
No. Yes. It sounds like someone sweeping.
Yeah.
Cato?
It could be. Cato? Are you down there?
What?
It's Tony. Tony and Rowena. Is that you down there?
I'm cleaning up.
Oh. Would you mind coming up here for a minute? We have something we want to ask you.
Oh, all right.
There you are.
Hello.
Cato, where is the baby?
Upstairs.
He's here?
Upstairs in my bedroom.
Is he all right?
Certainly.
Oh, I'm going upstairs to get him.
Rowena, upset?
Look, let you and I sit down for a minute, okay?
Well, sure. I ought to finish sweeping up the basement, but I guess that can wait.
What happened down there?
An explosion.
That's what it looked like from outside.
Remember last night I told you I had to get home to check on a shipment of cordite?
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
And that's why I left so early, right after dinner. Well, The cordite was here when I got home, and I already had a good supply of fulminate of mercury. I thought I'd take the next step. The decisive step in my experiment.
You mean the homunculus?
Yes. You always make fun of it, but I'm very sincere.
I know you are.
A little man who can rule us all with magic. It's a beautiful concept, don't you think?
What happened when you got home?
Well, I still don't know what I did wrong. Perhaps I was tired, or perhaps all my calculations had been in error from the very start. I really don't know, but there was an explosion, and the laboratory was wrecked.
Cato, when I called you this morning and asked you to come over and stay with Rowena, you said you had a lot of cleaning up to do. Was this what you meant? The laboratory?
Yes, I felt very badly about it. So much work, so much planning, so much thought. And I was so close, and then to lose it all. It broke my heart.
But you came to my house anyway.
Oh, I could clean up any time. I couldn't possibly start over. I don't have the money. I don't have the heart, you know?
So you came to my house, and then what?
Well, Rowena was very, very sick. You shouldn't have left her, Tony, or the baby.
I know.
I took Rowena an ice pack and some orange juice and a little tranquilizer, and she went to sleep. I sang to the baby, and he went to sleep. And when Rowena woke up, she was well. The fever had disappeared.
I know. She called me, told me.
Well, while she was talking to you, it dawned on me. The baby had done it. The baby had made Rowena well. Of course, he couldn't have done it without my help. That goes without saying.
So you took the baby?
Well, I had to. He was my homunculus, you see.
Cato, that was wrong.
Wrong?
The baby belongs to us.
I can't keep him?
No.
Not even for a little while?
No.
Oh, well. I suppose somewhere there's another tiny little man with magic powers. I just have to find him.
Have you given up your idea about the homunculus?
Well, not completely. Someday, if I can find some money, if I have the heart for it, perhaps. Someday. I'm really sorry you can't let me have your baby.
Well, it's just not possible.
I'd have taken good care of him.
I'm sure you would.
And I'd have taught him magic. And one day, who knows? He might have ruled the world.
Cato.
Are you ready to go home, Tony?
Yes.
Rowena?
Yes, Cato.
You look very beautiful holding the baby like that. And the baby looks very happy. Oh, maybe he's better off with you and Tony than with me.
I wonder what Cato's doing now, alone in that house, with the ruins of his experiment.
No, I couldn't care less. I think he should be put away someplace.
Oh, I don't know. He's harmless.
You think so, do you?
He didn't do us any harm, really.
Well, all the same.
I'm sorry for him.
You are? Why?
Oh, he wanted so badly to be a big man. And he never was anything, really. He wanted to be rich, but he didn't know how to go about it. He wanted to be loved, but he never was. Not really. But most of all, he wanted to be powerful, to run things.
What's the point of being powerful and running things? I'd rather be happy.
Yes. But it's very important to some people to have power. But Cato didn't want to get it the ordinary way. And he didn't want the ordinary kind of power. He wanted it to be magical. You know, he took the baby because he thought the baby had made you well, with his help. He thought he could make the baby into a homunculus once he taught him magic.
Oh, what nonsense. I got well because I...
Yes. Why did you? Why did you get well so suddenly the way you did?
Well, I slept.
That wasn't enough.
That pill?
That was just a simple tranquilizer.
I got well because I had to, for the baby's sake. Yes, while I was sleeping, I realized that the baby was in the next room with Cato and that he wasn't safe there, that I must get well and look after him, and so I got well. Yes, that's what happened.
And you don't call that magic?
No. It's mother love, that's all.
That's all? Very powerful magic. You know what Cato said to me about power that first day when I went to see him? I asked him what he would do with it if he had it.
What would he do with it?
I don't think he had any idea what he'd do with it. He said it didn't make any difference. The thing was to have it. He said it was the way an alcoholic feels about liquor. He has to know it's there. It's his. And that's how Cato feels about power.
It's crazy.
He said if he could keep our baby for a while, he'd teach him magic and he might grow up to rule the world.
Well, the only world he's ever going to rule is right here in this room.
That's it. That's it.
What?
A baby is the only one who rules the world. His world. His little immediate world. That's what's wrong with Cato. Of course.
What?
He wants to be a baby again. He wants the power back that he had when he was a baby. Anytime he opened his mouth and yelled, somebody put something in it. He didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to deserve it. No, it all came to him by magic. The magical power of a baby. Oh, of course. It's all very clear. The only person with power, the only person with magic, is the baby. A baby's a tyrant, and we dare to call him cute.
The tyranny of the baby lasts only a little while. All too soon, the little king is asked to give up his absolute power. With smiles or threats or tears, we coax or frighten or blackmail him into becoming tame and civilized. No wonder he rebels. No wonder he can never desert completely the world where his cry was law. The degree to which he can relinquish the memory of it is the degree to which he conforms to our reality. I'll be back shortly.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Two Guys Super Dollar Days Sale features a store full of values that give your dollar greater power than ever before. This week, get really close shaves with a Persona 74 double-edged razor blades, pack of five at the Super Dollar value price of four packs for a dollar. Mobil motor oil in SAE 20 or 30 weights is 3 quarts for a dollar at Two Guys, and Panasonic C and D size flashlight batteries are 6 for a dollar. Long Life light bulbs, and your choice of wattages are now 6 for $1. And Two Guys Housewares Department features Reynolds Wrap in the 12-inch by 25-foot roll at 4 rolls for just $1. You'll really clean up with Babbo Cleanser, 4 cans for $1. For values that boost your dollar's buying power, it's the Super Dollar Day sale at Two Guys, naturally.
There's always more than you bargain for. Two Guys, naturally.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask your attention for a message of vital importance from Public Service Electric and Gas Company of New Jersey. We are faced with a critical shortage of natural gas. We ask our customers, at home and at work, to cut back on the use of gas wherever possible. If you have gas heat, please set your thermostat 5 to 7 degrees below its normal setting. Reduce your use of hot water for bathing. Do not use your clothes washer, dishwasher, or gas dryer. Eliminate all non-essential use of gas. Your cooperation is vital. PSE&G gas customers must reduce their use of gas right now in order to avoid the possibility of a complete shutdown of gas service in your area. Public Service Electric and Gas Company will make further announcements on this station when you can return to full normal use of gas service. Your cooperation is extremely important and is sincerely appreciated.
Poor baby. When he discovers that the world does not, after all, revolve around him. When for months it had seemed that it did. Now begins the laborious process of finding a place in that world, a place of warmth and welcome. He needs love. He needs money. Above all, he needs self-respect. Without these things, he will not find his proper place in the world. In fact, he will feel himself forever in terrible danger of falling off it. Our cast included Gordon Gould, Joan Lovejoy, and Ralph Bell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's Mystery Theater was brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program is furnished by CBS Radio. New Yorkers have a new love affair. It's the Pampered Steak at the Assembly Steakhouse, 16 West 51st Street. You'll love it, too. John Cannaday of the New York Times rates the Assembly Steakhouse 3 stars, a notable tribute to the Pampered Steak. The Assembly pampers your steak every step of the way, from selection to preparation to serving. You'll notice the difference, and you'll like it, too. In addition to great steak, the Assembly is also famed for its fish and giant lobsters, served at their delicious peak of freshness. Come and enjoy a total dining experience where the warm and interesting decor proves that a great steak and seafood house doesn't have to have sawdust on the floor. For lunch, for cocktails, for dinner, or after theater, treat yourself to fantastic steak and seafood. There's free parking from dinner to after theater and piano entertainment weeknights. For reservations, call 581-3580, the Assembly Steakhouse in Rockefeller Center at 16 West 51st Street, the home of the Pampered Steak, New York's loved one. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station at the time signal, exactly 8 o'clock. Here's John Scott with the news.
The bitter cold weather continues across the Northeast with no break in sight. Natural gas shortages hit New York. New Jersey declares an emergency. Musicians Union rejects final offer from New York City Ballet Company. It's 6 degrees Fahrenheit in clear mid-Manhattan. The man says partly cloudy, bitterly cold, and windy tonight and tomorrow with a chance of occasional snow flurries. The low tonight, 0 to 5 above. This is John Scott with the 8 o'clock edition of the news. Slippery roads, late trains, closed schools, and frozen fingers were common across the metropolitan area today. as another brutal dose of bitter winter weather swept in on gale-force winds. Snow and blowing snow closed numerous roads and produced generally terrible driving conditions in parts of the state. Near or below zero temperatures were reported in most areas, powerful wind gusts and wind chill factors plummeting to minus 50 or even lower. Similar Arctic-like weather conditions are predicted through Wednesday. The freezing weather made commuting a misery this afternoon for thousands of suburbanites who work in New York City. During the evening rush hour, the Long Island Railroad, the Penn Central, and Conrail service into New Jersey were all disrupted, delays ranging from 15 minutes to well beyond an hour. Delays of up to 45 minutes are still plaguing the New Haven division of the Penn Central. Long delays are also reported on Conrail's Long Branch line. Service is, however, struggling back to normal. Niagara Mohawk Power Corporation virtually banned the use of natural gas for industrial processes today, triggering the indefinite layoffs of thousands of workers in upstate New York. Rome, New York, among the community's hardest hit, with more than 2,000 jobs affected. Niagara Mohawk, upstate New York's largest utility, said its 535 customers would be allowed to use just enough natural gas to keep pipes from freezing or equipment from being damaged. But a spokesman said the utility would not allow the use of natural gas for industrial processes for at least 3 days because of dwindling supplies. New Jersey declared a natural gas emergency after frigid weather forced the major gas pipeline supplying the state to reduce the amount of gas going into the state. The emergency is not expected to cut off gas to homes, but the governor's office said some industries in the state might have to close while the shortage lasts. Similar shortages have already shut down industry in other parts of the nation. Public Service Electric and Gas, the state's largest utility, said its largest supplier, Transcontinental Gas Pipeline Company, will cut off 35% of its New Jersey supplies starting tomorrow, amounting to 144 million cubic feet per day. A temporary restraining order was issued today against the strike of the Staten Island Rapid Transit train system. The order was obtained from State Supreme Court Justice Erwin Brownstein in Brooklyn by State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz at the request of the commuter line, which was struck at 6 a.m. A spokesman said the restraining order had not ended the strike. The trains are not running. The five striking unions have been ordered to appear before Brownstein at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon to show cause why an injunction should not be imposed against them. The New York City Ballet Orchestra voted today to reject a contract proposal to end its month-long strike, a move that state mediator Vincent McDonald said may result in the permanent closing of the company. Mediator McDonald said he recommended the settlement proposal at the request of both sides after negotiations reached a standstill. He added a management spokesman told him if the proposal fell through, and it has, it would mean the end of the ballet company. Nobody was seriously hurt, but a smoky electrical fire at a luxurious high-rise apartment in Cliffside Park, New Jersey, forced 1,000 residents into the zero cold. Almost 20 of them were treated for smoke. For Mrs. Edith Wingens, the explosion was particularly worrisome. Staying in her apartment was her 82-year-old father and her mother-in-law from Australia. She recounted her experience to newsman Roger Skibinis.
I was just getting dressed to go to the dentist, and there was the lights went off and an explosion. And we had and I looked out of the window and I saw tremendous black smoke coming out downstairs on the service entrance. From the service entrance.
What did you do?
Tell my father and my mother-in-law who's visiting with me to get dressed and put warm clothes on. And opened the door and everything was a blackout. And people were running down and I looked and the stairs were completely under smoke. So I couldn't take my father down. It was no sense. So I went and I looked on the terrace and I saw the fire engines coming. And I looked at the terrace and saw what was going on.
What floor do you live on?
Nine.
The ninth floor. And there was a lot of smoke on your floor? So how did you eventually get down?
Just now, the firemen took my father, carried him down, and then I went down.
What do you think happened when you looked out there?
Well, I knew it was an explosion. It was very obvious. All the electricity went off, and I knew very well that we were in trouble.
Were you a little worried?
Well, it's not a very comfortable feeling, to say the least, you know. Especially when you feel caught with an older person, you can't move. You don't know, you don't want to leave him alone, and you don't know what to do.
Negotiators for New York City and its policemen's union resolved all major issues for a new contract early today, only to see the talks collapse when the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association raised a demand that amnesty be given officers charged in connection with last fall's unruly demonstrations by police. The city says the matter of amnesty is not subject to contract negotiation. Anthony Russo of the Office of Labor Relations and Inspector Patrick Murphy of the Police Department's Office of Labor Policy discussed the union's raising of the amnesty issue, with Russo speaking first.
This was at 3 o'clock in the morning. We had started at 9, the early morning. We were naturally disappointed because we had been bargaining in good faith on the assumption that if we resolved these issues, that the orderly evaluation of the settlement would go to the Delegate Assembly.
Up until the very end, this is 18 hours of hard negotiation. This isn't, you know, this is real tough negotiations. They never mentioned amnesty. We asked them what their open items were. They listed them. They never mentioned amnesty until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Is that a double point?
No.
No, it's just a problem with their negotiations.
This is an internal situation with which we have no, over which we have no control.
Stock prices slipped again today amid fears that prime lending rates may be turning upward. The Dow Industrial Index lost nearly 5 points in moderate trading, bringing the Dow's total deficit for the year to about 37.5 points. The Dow average of industrials closed down 4.91 at 967.25. Today's volume totaled approximately 21,060,000 shares. 1,902 issues were traded, 652 advanced, 793 declined, 457 were unchanged. There were 101 new highs for the year. There were 6 new lows, and corporate bonds were mixed. On the American exchange, sales totaled 3,163,000 shares with 964 issues traded. Of these, 302 advanced, 342 declined, and 320 were unchanged. There were 49 new highs for the year. There were no new lows, and the market value index was up 0.12 at 111.30. Number 2 cotton closed 590 to $10 a bale higher. In the grain market in Chicago, wheat futures closed 1.5 to 2.25 cents a bushel higher. Corn was 1 to 2 cents higher. Oats were 1 to 1.5 cents higher. Soybeans closed 4.5 cents a bushel lower to 3 cents higher. A bridge has collapsed on a speeding commuter train near Sydney, Australia, and rescue officials say at least 100 persons are believed trapped inside the wreckage. A survivor describes the scene as a battlefield. Cars on the bridge had plunged onto the train, which one witness said was smashed like matchwood by the falling bridge. Another survivor said at least one person was killed and several others were injured. Dazed and bloodied survivors were seen wandering along the track. For a look at the ticklish situation in the Middle East, here is WOR's John Wingate.
The Palestine Liberation Organization has set conditions for the release of terrorist Abu Daoud to West Germany for trial. The PLO demands real proof that the charges were not made by what it calls Zionist intelligence sources or the American CIA. Responses prompt from the head of the American Jewish Congress, Richard Cohen.
Well, I suppose that's another way of getting out of the willingness to stand trial. If the charges are correct, if the information is accurate, if the indictment is foolproof as we believe it is, doesn't make any difference where it came from. Certainly, the state of Israel has intelligence agents in Europe. They need those intelligence agents in order to protect the lives of Israelis and Jews in Europe as well as in Israel, because the PLO has struck in Europe as well as in Israel.
The Palestine Liberation Organization also set another condition, that it be given real proof that Abu was involved in the massacre of Israeli athletes at the Olympic Games in Munich in 1972. The American Jewish Congress replied to this by saying, let Abu Daoud stand to trial in West Germany and let a court decide on the case. This is John Wingate for WOR News.
U.S. officials say the State Department will probably expel a Soviet diplomat identified by the FBI as a recipient of American defense secrets. The diplomat reportedly received classified material from a former Russian seaman who was arrested in New Jersey 10 days ago. Meanwhile, a West German Defense Ministry official says intelligence experts believe Soviet agents are trying to persuade German Air Force pilots to defect with U.S.-built Phantom jet fighters. Unlike convicted killer Gary Gilmore, whose wish to be executed was carried out at sunrise this morning, condemned murderer Jerry Jurek doesn't want to die. Today, Jurek received at least a 2-month reprieve from the Texas electric chair when the U.S. Supreme Court postponed his execution. Jurek had been scheduled to die on Wednesday. The justices stayed the execution until they can consider a formal appeal of his conviction. House Minority Leader John Rhodes introduced a bill today that would force House members to vote publicly on whether they'll receive pay raises. The raises for senators and representatives were included in President Ford's proposed budget. Under existing law, they would automatically go into effect in 30 days unless rejected by the House or Senate. Mr. Ford spent the day clearing up Oval Office business. He says he's just about made all the decisions on pending matters. still to be disclosed are his final views on Vietnam amnesty, the lifting of gasoline price controls, and the signing of another batch of pardons not related to Vietnam. The wife of Alabama Governor George Wallace is quoted in next month's issue of Ladies' Home Journal as saying she had her husband's telephone bugged to find out who is spreading rumors about her. Now, I'll have the weather and the top of the news in brief coming right up.